Welcome to the Bridge International Church, an English-speaking church located in the western suburbs of Paris. Here at the Bridge, we are committed to helping you discover God's plan for your life, relate to others, grow in your relationship with God, and experience life in the freedom of Christ. Join us as we listen to this week's message from the Bridge.
It's my privilege this morning to start our new series, Live Free, the Fruit of the Spirit from Galatians 5. We're going to be taking us through what the fruits of the Spirit are in the coming weeks and how they apply to our life, to build character in us, to become more like God. But this morning, as I read the passage this morning, I just want to take a minute to pray first, because we're going to read this first verse through verse 25 of Galatians chapter 5. And I just want to see the Holy Spirit move in your life. That's really what we're here for this morning. And this is what the Lord has organized for us to be here this morning, to speak to us a clear word from Him. And so just forget about me and listen to the Holy Spirit this morning as we read His word. But let's just pray first. Can we just bow our heads for a minute and just pray? Lord, we thank You that You have called us here to this place. Lord, You have given us a family to come and worship together the King of Kings, You, Jesus. And we thank You for Your word. We thank You how it transforms us and changes us and helps us to become the men and women and children of God that You have called us to be. So this morning, as we read Your word and as we study on a few points, I pray that we will yield ourselves to You, that we will hear Your voice, and that You will make Your word alive and active in our lives like never before. Change us, Lord. Help us, Lord, to receive the seed of the word of God, and let it be planted in our lives, and let it bring forth fruit that will change our lives from this moment on. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, let's just get right into it. Live free, the fruit of the Spirit, from Galatians 5, chapter 1. So Christ has truly set us free. Now make sure that you stay free and don't get tied up again in slavery to the law. Listen, I, Paul, tell you this. If you are counting on circumcision to make you right with God, then Christ will be of no benefit to you. I'll say it again. If you were trying to find favor with God by being circumcised, you must obey every regulation in the whole law of Moses. For if you are trying to make yourself right with God by keeping the law, you have been cut off from Christ and you have fallen away from God's grace. We're going to come back to that in a few minutes and talk about the law and the grace of God. Let's continue. Verse 5, but we who live by the Spirit eagerly await to receive faith by faith the righteousness God has promised to us. When we place our faith in Christ Jesus, there is no benefit in being circumcised or being uncircumcised. What is important is faith expressing itself in love. You were running a good race so well, or you were running the race so well, he said in verse 7. Who has held you back from following the truth? It certainly isn't God, for He is the one who called you to freedom. This false teaching is like a little yeast that spreads through the whole batch of dough. I'm trusting the Lord, he says, to keep you from believing false teachings. God will judge that person, whoever he is, who has been confusing you. For you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters, but don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. For the whole law can be summed up in this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. But if you're always biting and devouring one another, watch out. Beware of destroying one another. Verse 16 says, So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of the Spirit, what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you are not free to carry out your good intentions. But when you are directed by the Spirit, you are not under obligation to the law of Moses. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful desire or lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy and drunkenness, and wild parties and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living in this sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. That's a lot of scripture there, a lot of passage, but let that sink into us as we go into our hearts as we go through this passage this morning. I want to bring out two major themes that I really sense the Lord has led us to kick this series off this morning. The first is what Christ has done for us. And the second is living in the Spirit's power. First of all, let's talk about what Christ has done for us. The first thing that we can recognize that Christ has done for us, Christ has saved us. Paul had to come against the church with, not come against the church, but come to the church with a reprimand. Because they had fallen into this false teaching of someone who was going around teaching them that they had to be circumcised, which is a medical procedure for young people that are being born in order to be made right with God. It was a law, okay? It was a law that they were having to follow. But Paul was saying, look, verse 3 and 4, what did he say? He said, I will say it again. If you are trying to find favor with God by being circumcised, you're going to have to obey every regulation in the law of Moses. He's saying, look, if you can't just apply this one little aspect of the law of Moses and make it about your relationship with God. You're going to have to do everything in the law. But he's saying that's not right anyways. That is not the message that you believed to begin with. He says, if you are trying to make yourself right with God by keeping the law, you have been cut off from Christ. That's a scary place to be. Cut off from Christ. He says, you have fallen away from God's grace. The very first thing that we can remember today is that Christ has saved us. God saved us by his grace. Ephesians 2:8 says what? It says, God saved you by his grace when you did what? When you did all these wonderful things and you did works and you came to church and you read your Bible every day and you prayed? No. God saved you by his grace when you believed. And that's what it comes down to. It's not about works, Paul is saying. It's about believing. It's about having faith. And he says this. He says, and you can't even take credit for this. It's a free gift from God. It's not a reward for the good things that we have done. And sure, there are good things that we do. There are wonderful things that we do. But it is not a reward for the good things that we do so that what? So that none of us can boast about it. You know, God knows our nature. We're pretty prideful. Oh, look how good I'm doing. And a lot of times we end up judging our walk with God by how well we're doing in our walk with God. Well, I'm really feeling saved this week. If you understand that term, I'm really feeling the salvation of God this week. I'm reading my Bible and I'm praying and I'm doing all these wonderful things. But then the next week you're struggling and you're thinking, man, I'm just so, you know, God doesn't love me. I'm so weak. I'm so terrible. And you do this up and down flip flop because you're doing it wrong. You're trying to win God's favor by your works. But you can't win His favor by your works. It's by His grace that we have been saved when we believe on what Jesus Christ did for us upon the cross. Amen. The Bible tells us for anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life has gone and the new has begun. That's a pretty bold statement. The old has gone and the new has begun. I'll be honest with you, in my life, sometimes I feel like that's not the case because I'm trying to work it out on my own. I'm saying, man, I still have these struggles. I still have these things. And you are going to have those things in your life. And we're going to talk about that in just a minute, about the wars that are going on in us. But verse 21 of Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 says, "For God made Christ who never sinned, to be the offering for our sins, so that we could be made right with God through Christ." The bottom line is this, that sin and self-righteousness separates us from God. But Jesus brings us salvation. Again, it's free, and it's as simple as calling on His name. It's as simple as saying, "I need You, Jesus. I believe in You, Jesus." You see, He had to be the offering to take our place. Before Jesus came, in order to be right with God, you had to go through a process of requirements. You had to keep certain laws. You had to make certain sacrifices in order to be made right with God when you sinned. But when Jesus came, the law had no authority anymore. Jesus came and He fulfilled the law. That's what the Bible tells us. He fulfilled the law in that He was the ultimate sacrifice. There could be no greater sacrifice made to make us right with God, to bridge that gap of separation between us and our lostness and with God. And so that is the first thing that we can recognize from this passage, that Jesus has come, and He's come to save us. Christ has saved us. And not only has He saved us, He has set us free. He set us free from the law. He says, so Christ has truly set us free. Now, talking about setting us free from the law, He also saves us from sin and death. But He's talking about specifically the law here. But He's saying, now make sure that you don't get tied back up again in that slavery, okay? Just what I've been talking about. You're under God's grace, you accept your salvation, and then you start, man, I got to do better. God doesn't love me enough. Don't get back into that, Paul was saying. So Paul, what he does, he goes to verse 13, he challenges them. He says, look, and I love how he says this here. He says, "For you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters, but don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use it for godly purposes. Love one another. Put love in action and be a good brother and a good sister, a good neighbor, a good husband, a good wife to those around us, a good children to your fathers and to your mothers, a good parents to your kids. Put love in action." And love is what we're going to talk about in a few minutes, as being a fruit of the Spirit. But Christ is saying, or Paul is saying, look, let that freedom we have in Christ empower us not to live our lives however we want to live and say, I have freedom in Christ to do whatever I want to do and live however I want to live, but to have the freedom and the power in Christ to overcome the nature of my evil cravings the things that I want to do bad, that sinful nature, he brought that word up right here, that sinful nature, use the power of Christ and that freedom that we have to overcome and to act in love. Because we have been called to freedom. Use that. All right? Let's talk about it just for a second. There are three parts. So, you know, what is the sinful nature? What is the sinful nature? Three parts to you as a human being. Spirit. Your spirit is the part that when you give your life to Jesus, you become perfectly clean and righteous forever. There's nothing that you've done to make yourself right. It's when you give it to him, he makes you clean and righteous. It's that's that part of you that wants to know God more. It's that part of you that makes you want to read your Bible. It's that part of you that makes you want to pray. It's that part of you that makes you want to be close to God. And so that's our spirit man, our spirit nature. Now we also have other parts of our physical body, of our human body, of ourself. We have our physical self, your body. Like it or love it, it's your body. Take good care of it or don't. It's your body. The Bible tells us we should take good care of it, and I need to work on it. I think some of you are probably feeling for me right there. Okay. It's a little too quiet in here right now, you know? I'm from the South in the U.S., you know, and we eat everything is fried or full of sugar. And so, you know, blame it on my upbringing, but it's my body. It's what I am. You know, it has sinful cravings. It has cravings that are always not so healthy for me, or it has certain lusts and desires. Then you also have your soul, which is your emotional capacity. It's your will. It's your dreams, your desires, what you think you want to do with your life. It's your thought process. It's who you are. It kind of makes you who you are. Some people say, oh, well, that's an old soul, or that's a lost soul. It's people who are like, it defines you in a way like this is, it doesn't make you that's me, but it just gives you your thought process. It's who you are in that way, your emotional capacity, okay? Because somebody was asking me earlier about it. They're like, that is so deep. And I'm like thinking, okay, I need to stop right there because I don't want to get too deep. Because God is not that way. He's simple. He's simple. All right, let's continue on. He says, I love, okay, so the body and the soul, they make up this part of you, this sinful nature. And so I love it when he says, you know, you've been called to live in freedom, but how do we live in that freedom? How do we live in that freedom that God has called us to live in? How do we live triumphantly and overcome those evil desires that he's talking about here? And this is where the message becomes very powerful and clear. He says, verse 16, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. It's a very simple message, but the practice is the hard part. Let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Okay, I'm going to ask, I did this first service too. I'm going to ask a dumb question. How many of you have a smartphone? Raise your hand. You have a smartphone? Colin, I know you don't have a smartphone. I love you, man. I think you're the only person in the world right now. But I love you, bro. But they have you ever, okay, so most of us have smartphones. We have these apps on our smartphones made by different companies. And all of you know of this little company called Google, right? This little company, you know, Google has become so big, nobody even asks anybody any questions anymore. They're like, you got something wrong with you, you Google it. You want to? You need some answers or something? You Google it, right? Okay, who's there? Come on. Okay, we got a bunch of Googlers. all kinds of Googlers up in here. But I am right there with you. I have this app on my phone called Google Maps. And I shared in the first service about, you know, a lot of times these, you know, men from the United States, they're very prideful about their driving. And they don't like to admit when they're lost. Is that just a U.S. thing or is that just a man thing? Okay, it's just a man thing. So, you know, just kind of... Okay, Chris. just take this illustration real quick and we'll move forward. But I like Google Maps because it is such a powerful app. It gives me the sense that I know where I'm going. I can put in the directions, but the address of where I need to go. It tells me where I'm at first and tells me that, hey, this is the route you can take if you want to get there at this time. If you want to avoid this traffic, take this route. It has all these cool different patterns and options. You can avoid toll roads or you can take the scenic route. And you're like, hey, this is great. And it gives me that sense of, hey, I'm in control. But really, I'm not in control. What I'm doing is I'm yielding myself to the power of the app, to the knowledge of the app, to the guidance of that app. And one feature that I really love about this feature, it just makes me feel so good. The other day I was driving at IKEA. I was coming to IKEA to buy some things for our renovation project. And I don't always hear this, but then I get to IKEA and all of a sudden I hear this voice say, "You have arrived." I said, "Yes, I have arrived." Makes you feel good, right? Like, man, I have arrived. I have reached the top. I have reached my destination. I'm doing good. That's a phrase we use in the U.S. You have arrived. I have arrived. The Apostle Paul talks about how he wanted to know Christ. And he said, look, not that I have attained all these things, not that I have arrived, but I press on. I press forward to reach the goal of knowing Christ Jesus and knowing the power of his resurrection in my life. And so in that sense, I can tell you this, I have not arrived. And as much as I like Google Apps, there is a voice in my life that I need to yield to more often, and that's the voice and the power of the Holy Spirit. When you lead your life by the power of the Holy Spirit, when you yield to His voice, it's the greatest thing that you could ever do. You can plan your course, you can chart your course out, but if you yield to the Holy Spirit, He can take you to a destination you never dreamed of going. You can have complete and utter total dependence upon His voice, because He will never steer you wrong. And that's what the Apostle Paul was saying to the church in Galatians. They had lost their way. They had taken this false doctrine and they had started running with it. And he said, no, get back to what the Holy Spirit is speaking to your life. Yield yourself to the Holy Spirit and let Him guide you. And then you will not fulfill the desires of the sinful nature. Does that make sense? Is that clear? Let's move on. So Paul talks just for a minute, saying, look, the spirit and the sinful nature are at war with each other. You do what you don't want to do, and you don't do what you want to do. It wasn't just the Galatians. It's not just you. He talked about it in Romans. He talked about it in all kinds of other Corinthians and other churches as he traveled around encouraging the churches. It's a war that goes on between that spirit and that soul in your body. Your spirit is made righteous through what Jesus did, but your soul and your body is working together, still living in this world, trying to keep up with what the spirit is happening in the spirit. So it's a constant war. It's a constant battle. So he was reminding them, hey, this is a battle. But if you are living your life being guided by the Holy Spirit, you can overcome these things, which he talks about the results of the Holy, not the Holy Spirit, the results of the sinful nature. And he gives them this clear warning at the end of verse 21. Let's just read them really quick. Once again, we won't dwell on them. But he says, when you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again. So this isn't the first time Paul is telling them this. Let me tell you again. And he told them this over and over and over in every message that he ever preached, every word of encouragement that he ever shared. Live according to the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh, of the sinful nature. But if you do, these things are going to happen in your life. If you're yielding to the sinful nature, these things are going to happen to your life. And the Bible tells us, he says, God tells us that you will not inherit the kingdom of God if you live like this. And you say, man, that is harsh, Joel. That's, you know, you're judging. You're being judgmental, or Paul was being judgmental. No, he's not being judgmental. He is speaking in love. He is acting in love because he cares. He has a genuine concern as he's led by the Holy Spirit to speak into their life and say, look, if you want to be on the course that God has planned out for your life, then you have got to stop living in according to the sinful nature. You have got to allow the Holy Spirit to work in your life and stop living in those things, because that's the result. As we live in that sinful nature, those results separate us from God. That's what he's concerned. He's like, he's not saying, hey, this is sin, this is sin, this is sin, this is sin, just to say it's all sin. He's saying, look, these things do not bring you closer to God. And that's his message to them. He wants you to be close to God. He wanted the Galatians to be close to God. He didn't want them to just be wondering, oh, am I close to God? Am I in God's judgment? Am I in God's wrath? No. If you've been made new in Christ, you are a new creature. You are a new person. And you have nothing to fear. You have no worries. At least spiritual. You have no worries. God is with you. Let me go on, and we'll close here in just a second. He said, no, but I challenge you, live by the Spirit, because the fruits of the Spirit are this. When you live your life by the Spirit, the Spirit is going to produce love and joy and peace and patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There's good fruit, and then there's bad fruit. Jesus talked about that in Matthew. He said, a good tree produces good fruit, and a bad tree produces bad fruit. A good tree can't produce bad fruit, and a bad tree can't produce good fruit. So every tree that does not produce good fruit is chopped down and thrown into the fire. It's got no use. What's the point of having a tree if it's not going to produce good fruit? If you're in the middle of an orchard, what's the point? You're just taking up nutrients, is what Jesus is saying. It's going to be chopped down and thrown in the fire. But that the most important point of this is in verse 20, he says, yes, just as you can identify a tree by its fruit, you can identify people by their actions. These fruits are not a list, a to-do list for us. These fruits are produced by the Holy Spirit, who is at work within us as we yield to Him. It's not a to-do list. It's not that works thing. Well, I'm really operating in love today. Praise God, I'm producing the fruit of love. No, you don't produce love. But when you yield to God and you're finding yourself in a situation that you can't stand that person sitting next to you, or another person that you're having a problem with in your family, and you yield yourself to the Holy Spirit is going to produce in you the fruit of love, which is going to cause you to love them rather than hate them. So when we yield ourselves to the fruit of the Spirit, or when you yield ourselves to the Spirit, He is going to produce fruit in us that is going to be good fruit. It's good fruit. It changes our character. It builds our character and brings our body and soul more in line with the plan that God has put in place for your life. It aligns it more with your spirit. It aligns it with who we are in Christ, that new person. Does that make sense? This morning, as the worship team comes, I just want to just challenge you. I know I didn't talk a lot about the fruits this morning. We're gonna talk about those things here in the coming weeks. But again, it's not a list that you're going to start working on. The most important part is that you yield to the Holy Spirit. What voice are you following in your life? As we all stand this morning, I just want to take a few minutes to allow you to come and just evaluate. I asked you earlier this morning, how are you doing? You know, in general, a lot of times we're doing good. But let me tell you again, there's nothing that you can do to make yourself right with God, make Him love you more, except the one thing is just believing in Him. Maybe you're here this morning and you're tired, and you're tired of trying to work it all out on your own. You're tired of doing everything on your own, and you just feel beat down and just worn out, and you're saying, God, I just don't want to do this anymore. Well, that's what He's saying. Hey, you don't have to do this. I've taken care of all of that already. All I need you to do is listen to my voice. Yield yourself to what I'm saying. And so if you find yourself in that place this morning, you just say, man, I just need a fresh touch from God. In a few minutes, I'll be available in the aisles. If you need prayer, we want to pray with you and just give you just any kind of support that you need there. Secondly, maybe you're on a journey and you don't even know what I'm talking about this morning. You don't know Jesus as your personal Savior. You're not really following Jesus, but you're interested. You're on a journey and you're trying to figure it all out. I would just tell you this. It's as simple as this. Call on His name. Say, Jesus, I don't have all the answers. I'm on this journey. But please meet me. Please speak to me. Just call on His name and see what happens. Yield yourself to His voice. Yield to Him, and He will meet you.
Thank you for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like to get in touch or find out more about the Bridge International Church, please visit our website, www.thebridgeparis.com.